Now, I know I started earlier by saying welcome to the launch of this church, but as many of you know, this has been a church already for quite some time now. Some of you have been a part of it. In fact, we've been around for about 6 months even. And I actually want to take you back, and I want to, those of you who don't know about our history so far, I want to fill you in about the journey that we've had over those 6 months, because what's actually happened is God has shaped us and He's formed us into the group of people that we are today and turned us into a little family that thinks the same about what we want to do with this church. It's been a great journey. I want to tell you how it started. It actually started last year even. I sat around with Dean Pinsak and my wife, just the three of us, thinking, let's start a Bible study on a Thursday night. And we started to think about what kind of Bible study it should be, and we pray about it. And you know, by the end of that year, last year, we had 12 people coming over to our place in our lounge room to have Bible study down at North Avoca. They were great times. But then as we kicked over into this year, we decided, let's open up that Bible study a little bit. Let's find a bigger lounge room and let's call it house church and actually start to sing as well as just sit down and read the Bible. And so we did that, and we found a house in Terrigal that we were living in, had a bigger lounge room, and we kind of spread the word that you can come along if you like. The first week we had 22 people came for Bible study in our house. It was unreal, and in fact, it became obvious pretty quickly that we weren't going to be able to stay in that lounge room. We started in the middle of summer. It was stinking hot, and we were packed in there. And I remember one night particularly where people were even sitting outside the house looking in through the window and listening through the window because it was too hot and too packed. And that was great. And so a few weeks after we started in that lounge room in Terrigal, beginning of this year, we thought, we need to find a bigger lounge room. And that's when we made the move to the Shed. Now, a lot of you guys know the Shed. The shed's got a good history. It's had lots of ministries start up in it. The Pennycook Shed. Christian Surf has used it for many years. And in fact, I know a number of churches that have started in that place. And we thought, let's move to the Shed and do it up a bit. Make it look like a big lounge room. And so that's what we did. Now, the youth had been meeting in the Shed last year for quite some time. They'd done a brilliant job at turning the Shed into this rat-breeding frenzy. And so... And they did a good job. You just leave pizza out and stuff like that, and they come and they breed. It's unreal. So when we walked in there, this thing seriously was full of rats and stunk like rats, and we actually never got rid of the rat smell or the rats. One time when I was teaching, a rat fell down the wall behind me as I was teaching, scampered off. No one was really fazed, though, were they? It's the rat place. But we did a lot of work to that shed. We wanted to make it like a big lounge room. So we basically ripped out everything that was in there because it was soaked with rat poo and rat wee and everything else rats do. And we chucked it all out. We scrubbed the place down. We disinfected it. We brought in some new stuff. And we set it up really well. In fact, one of the highlights of doing all that was seeing Gav Sharp rock up with his bobcat. Now, some of you are thinking, what do you do with a bobcat? When you, I don't know. I don't care. I don't even know what he did. But he was there and he was with his bobcat. Look at this good. We got a bobcat to clean this place out. No, he did something with it and I'm just stoked to see it there. So we used bobcats and we cleaned that place up. You know, the Shed has been an absolute blessing for us over the last few months. It's been a great place to meet. Got the pot belly going right throughout winter. In fact, we're still in winter. You wouldn't know it tonight though, would you? And we were able to grow in that shed. Even though I had no toilets, and even though you had to run extension cord for like about 300 metres to find the nearest house, fully legal, of course. That's what we had to do to set up. You know, it was awesome. It was great. But you know, and now we make the move here, and we get into the grammar school. And I've had a few people say to us, "How'd you get into the grammar school?" Roger, are you here tonight, mate? He's not. I haven't seen his face. He might be. He's not here. Anyway, I'll tell you, he's not here. I'll tell you how he got in. I made Roger, the guy who's the coordinator of this whole thing, I made him coffee, good coffee, for a whole year. And never underestimate the power of caffeine to take hold of someone. And towards, just really recently, his wife said, why don't you ask Roger if you can use the grammar school? So here we are, and how good is it? Like, it's like a lounge room, isn't it? And it's beautiful, and we, like Andrew said, we'll be able to fit, I think it's about 120, 130 of us here tonight. Praise the Lord for that. That's great. I had no idea we could fit that many people in here. So we will stay here until we can't fit any more. And the great thing is we just move across the basketball court into the auditorium, which is sitting over there. We will be able to squeeze easy 300 people into there. Now, I'm not just talking numbers for numbers' sake, because we're on a mission here. We want to reach people for Christ. That's what we want to do. And so as God has formed us over the last 6 months, I believe he has shaped the way we think. And so he's given us a common purpose. And in fact, we've come up with a mission. A mission statement, or whatever you call it. Now, someone give it to me. Come on. Someone knows the mission statement and yell it out. Deb, you can't yell it out, all right? There should be someone here who can tell me the mission of this church. Thank you, Amber. All right. Reaching coastal people for Christ. That's the mission of this church. We want to reach coastal people. That means reaching out and grabbing people for Jesus and bringing them into his church. That's our mission. That's what we are going to be continually on about for a long time now, reaching coastal people for Christ. Now, as we do that, I realize there will be Christians who already know Christ who come and join us, and that's fine. But what we want to say to you right from the outset is, would you join us on our mission? Please do not join us just for convenience or comfort. We worship Christ, not convenience and comfort. But please join us in our mission to reach coastal people, because that's what we're on about. We want to go and we want to get people that don't know Christ, and we want to bring them into his church. Okay? The Central Coast is full of unchurched people and de-churched people. Okay? Unchurched people meaning they don't have any background in the church. In fact, I met one yesterday. They're everywhere. You know, I walked into the clothes shop, met this young girl named Tiffany, looking to buy a shirt for the launch. Like my shirt? All right? My shirt? Yeah. Trying to look like a pastor, you know? Still got thongs, but I'll get there with that one. I met this girl named Tiffany, and she said, you know, it's a classic. Actually, I had the same conversation today. People say, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, let me tell you, we're launching a church. And she's like, and off she went. She said, you know, I've been thinking about going to church lately. I said, really? Tell me about it, you know. And so off she went. But you know what? She said, I'm going to feel weird walking in because I'm not a religious person. And I don't know whether I'd be dressing properly. And I don't know enough about the Bible thing. I'm not educated in the Christian things. And so she's held back from coming to church thinking culturally and education-wise she's not allowed to go to church. So there's a lot of unchurched people on the Central Coast who we need to actually be saying to them, no, you can come. You will be able to understand the message about Jesus. And it doesn't matter what you wear. Like, wear something, but it doesn't matter what you wear. Come. You know what? And then there's plenty of de-churched people on the Central Coast. I actually think there's more de-churched than anyone. When I say de-churched, I mean people who have got a church background, but they were turned off by an experience that they had in the church. And don't you meet people like that everywhere? Some of you will tell me that tonight. That's your story. Now, some people have had bad experiences, and the church is at fault for doing terrible things. It's got a lot to answer for what it's done over the years. But some people have had bad experiences with the church when the church hasn't done anything wrong. The church has simply been speaking the truth of Christ to people. It's offensive to hear. Again, met a guy the other day down at Avoca. I'm slapping up a poster, talking to a young guy about the church, and I hear a voice somewhere behind me. And it's like, oh, don't talk to me about that. You won't get me to come to your church. And I'm like, okay. And off he went. It's funny. He started a conversation with me about going to church because he didn't want to have a conversation about going to church, right? And off he went, and I found out sooner or later that the reason why he stopped going to church, had a big church background, the reason why he stopped going to church is because they told him he was a big, fat, dirty sinner. And I just kind of had this smile on my face. I said, mate, you should come to our church. I'll tell you the same thing. But at the same time, I will tell you that I have the same problem. I am a big, fat, dirty sinner as well, which is why we need Jesus. And at that point, he kind of said, oh, that'll do, mate, that'll do. I'm not in your church. But there's plenty of de-churched people on the Central Coast who, and you know, that's who we're after. We want to reach people who think, I just don't want a part of that anymore, and so they never get to hear any more about Jesus because they're too scared of entering the church. We want to be accessible to those kinds of people. Now, usually when I talk about these things, some people say, so what kind of a church are you going to be? Are you just going to be like this weird, esoteric blend of music and art and just never do anything? Some people said, is it going to be like a service? And as you said, not. It's just a service. We're just going to be thinking a lot about the language we use and the style that we do so we stay accessible to the people that there's millions of, thousands of, on the Central Coast, okay? Because we want them to hear about Jesus. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be going after those people. Now, I'll take a breath. I got told last week I speak too fast, and you probably need a breath too. So, actually, I wouldn't mind a drink. Can I have a drink? Thanks, Greg. When we talk about reaching people for Christ, We're reaching them with a message about Jesus. And so we actually believe we have something to say to the Central Coast, and we're going to scream it in love to the Central Coast. The first thing we're going to say is this. We think the Central Coast is a beautiful place. Amen? And we want to agree with everyone who lives here and say, this is fair-dinkum beautiful. It is. It's amazing. I was down just at Wamberal this morning, just running around on the beach, thinking, this, where do you find places like this? Now, I'm still relatively new to the Central Coast. I've only been here for a year and a half. Still a bit of a blow-in. I know that. What that means is I keep discovering places and thinking, I can't believe places like this still exist. This is beautiful, and it's only a few minutes from the place that I live. I mean, Littles Beach, shh, don't tell anyone about that one. Okay, head up on top of Kingcomer Mountain. I was up there the other day reading a bit of poetry, a bit of Walt Whitman. Yeah, I can read Walt Whitman. Beautiful up on top of Kingcomer Mountain. Actually, when I first arrived here, Dean Pintack told me about this surf spot. I won't tell you where it is. You've got to keep it hush-hush. A surf spot, world-class surf spot, and as you're walking there along the base of the cliff, takes about 3 hours to walk there, but it's worth it. You walk there, and as you walk there, natural spring water bubbles out of the cliff and runs into the ocean. I'm thinking, I've got to see this. So off we go, and walking, and sure enough, there's the natural spring water bubbling out of the cliff, streaming across in front of me. I'm thinking, this is amazing. And we go out there and we surf. Where can you go and surf an incredible world-class wave, and then on the way back, get to drink magic water? You know, because the oldies waddle down there and they dam it up and they bring their bottles and they fill up their bottles because they call it magic water and they take it back to their house so they drink it. More years in their life. It's great. Magic water. The Central Coast is a beautiful place. Is it not? It's awesome. And you know what? I think most of the people on the Central Coast do a real good trying to enjoy living here too. Again, just this morning I saw these three mums with babies strapped to the front of them. You know those capuchi things? Just walking, right up the end of Wombie, walking down the beach. And I'm thinking, that's great. Mums, babies, on the beach, enjoying nature, breathing fresh air. People are interested in being healthy and eating well and enjoying this place. And that's great. However, and this is the big however, there is a tragedy on the Central Coast. An absolute tragedy which hangs over all of that beauty. And this is what it is. Many, many thousands of people who live on the Central Coast, believe that they can enjoy the good things here on the Central Coast without ever knowing the God who made it. And I call that a tragedy. This is a gift. Life is a gift. Beauty is a gift. And thousands of people enjoy the good gifts without ever turning to know and acknowledge the giver of the good gifts. And so part of what we're going to be doing as a church is saying to the Central Coast, know the God of this place. You will enjoy life far more knowing the God of this place. He made us. He made this. He sustains this. He is the ruler over all of this. You need to know the God of the Central Coast. But I'm very aware that as we yell that out, and as we say, know the God of this place, we're going to come across heaps of people, and in fact, I've already come across many who say, I do. But when they start to talk about the God that they call the God of this place, it's very different from the God that I call God. There are many, many spiritual people on the Central Coast, but I tell you what, they vary greatly in what it means to be spiritual. There are many options of different gods you can believe in on the Central Coast. And you heard Mary Holstein, you know? She's the leader of the Gnostic movement in Woi Woi, okay? She's the wife of Chris Holstein, who was on the video as well. I got lots of incredible comments from them talking about the spiritual movement. I even interviewed a philosopher who came out of there and said, there is an awakening on the Central Coast. People are interested in spiritual things, and I believe that they are. The Gnostic movement will tell you this. Did you hear what she said? She said, your perception determines reality. So I can't tell you what reality is, because reality for you is different from what reality for me is. God for you is different from what God for me is. It's all about my perception. How I perceive things, that is the reality for me. And that actually permits you to invent your own God. That's what it does. You invent your own God, and no one can argue with you. No one can challenge you, because that's your perception. So that's something you'll hear, and that's becoming more and more mainstream, that idea. So as we yell out, know your God, there's plenty of people go, I do! I made one up and it's awesome and you can't argue with me. And we weren't arguing, by the way, when we were talking to Mary. I was just nodding, going, keep talking. I wanted to hear what she had to say. I was not arguing, but obviously she's used to people arguing with her because it's a bizarre kind of way to think. So we've got the Gnostic belief. What else have we got? Where's my notes? I'll look at my notes. Pick any God you want. Did you notice those two more alternative people sitting on the beach? They were a great couple. They said a lot of really cool things. But what they said was, well, God is anywhere, really. And trees, sand, me, God is everywhere. And he's in me and he's in you. So as long as you know yourself and the place around you, you know God. Okay? That's becoming really common as well. And the other thing that Chris Holstein actually said in the shop, he said, it doesn't matter which God. Just pick one of the ones that are out there, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, Catholicism, whatever it is, because we'll sell it all in this shop, because it doesn't matter what you believe in. Just pick one. Doesn't matter. Just pick one. You see, that is what a huge amount of people on the Central Coast believe about God. Saturday EV, we'll be actually saying something quite unique. We didn't make it up. It's age old. It's biblical Christianity, where we say, we know who God is, and you can't make him up. He's the one true and living God. You find it in the Bible. It's historical. It's reliable. Okay? It's controversial. I know that. It is uncool to say you believe you know who the one true God is. Again, as Mary Holstein said, the minute you say, I believe in something, you are saying, I disbelieve in something else. That's uncool these days to say anything. So I realize we will be uncool in that way. As we stick our flag in the ground, we say, we believe we know who God is, the one true living God. And I know that's controversial, but this is it. We believe the God of the Central Coast is Jesus. He is the God of the Central Coast. He made this place. He made you. He keeps you alive. He sustains the whole Central Coast. He rules over the Central Coast. And everyone who lives in this place will one day stand before him to be judged. Jesus owns the Central Coast. He is the God of the Central Coast. And the Bible tells us that God made himself known to us through the person of the Son, Jesus. He came to us as the man Jesus, the exact representation of his being. And Jesus said, black and white, flat out, I am God. He said it a number of times. He said, I am God. That's who I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. No one gets to heaven except through Jesus. So we speak Jesus. We're going to scream Jesus. We're going to say, Central Coast, know Jesus. That's how you know God. Now, when we say know Jesus, a lot of people say, oh, I do. I know lots of stuff about Jesus. Good bloke, you know. Good with young kids. Bit of a hippie. Wore a dress. You know, did nice things. Said nice things. I know about Jesus. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about believing and trusting in the one big thing that Jesus came here to do. That's what we mean when we say believe in Jesus. Believe in the one big thing, and this is the one big thing that you need to believe in about Jesus, and that is this. He went to the cross. He went to the cross and died a death where he took the penalty for your sin in his body on the tree. We've been singing that tonight. And that's what you need to know about Jesus. The passage that was read to us here from 1 Corinthians 1 actually says, Paul says, and this is the gospel that we preach, he says, I will preach Christ crucified. And he admits, that is foolishness in this world. It sounds bizarre to actually be 2,000 years later for us today, be preaching about an executed man. And I tell you what, it was not a pretty sight to see Jesus hanging on that cross. So how is it that we can be proud about the execution, the brutal execution of a man 2,000 years ago? Why is it that we can be so proud and say, preach Christ crucified? How can we say it's all about Jesus? Well, it sounds foolish until you discover what actually happened on the cross while Jesus hung there. When you see what happened on the cross, you will not see it as foolishness anymore. The Central Coast will not see it as foolishness anymore when they actually see that on the cross, Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness. It was Jesus dying in my place. It's what I call the big swap, a massive swap, where Jesus goes, I will take your sin. I will take the judgment that ought to be on you because of your sin. And I will take it on myself, and I will offer you a perfectly righteous golden heart. And I will offer you that swap. You will not get a better deal anywhere in any religion. No one will tell you this, that the God of the universe comes to us to rescue us from ourselves. But that's exactly what Jesus does. And he does it on the cross, which is why we'll always preach Christ crucified. You might have noticed I mentioned rescue us from ourselves. Now that's very controversial, because it's a lot easier to think that the evil is all out there, isn't it? It's a lot easier to think that the danger, the bad stuff, it's all the people out there. You know, it's the naughty types. You know, but Jesus actually tells us here, no. He died for our own sinful hearts. See, the danger is inside of you and me. Sinful hearts will send us to hell. And you might think, my heart's not that sinful. I'm not that bad. But when I say sinful heart, I don't mean you need to get in your car and drive around doing drive-by shootings or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't need to be a mass murderer. You don't need to do anything particularly graphically evil in this world's eyes to still have a sinful heart. Because we're born with sinful hearts. We're born with sinful hearts that actually want us, that continually get us to turn away from God. That's why Jesus had to rescue us from ourselves, because our sinful hearts naturally want to ignore the one true and living God and come up with their own God, which is why we will always see people inventing God. It's why we'll always see people turning to nature and just worshipping nature, just being so amazed at the beauty of nature that they actually believe that that is God. And I believe God, you know, did make everything, and you can actually see God's goodness in everything, but it's another thing to actually turn to nature and worship nature. But our sinful hearts will always get us to turn away from the one true and living God to worship anything else. The big one on the Central Coast, because this is such a beautiful place, is we worship lifestyle. That's the big one. We worship lifestyle. So while there's lots of people who say, oh yeah, I know God and I follow him, there's lots of people who say, actually I don't care about God, I actually just care about my lifestyle. And I care about keeping it sweet, you know, and keeping it choice, and just keeping it cruisy. That's the Central Coast. You've got to keep it cruisy. Don't get locked into anything with too much responsibility, because it's got to stay cruisy, you know. People worship lifestyle. It's at the top of their list, okay? We need to worship Christ. He needs to be at the top of our list. He died to rescue us from ourselves, our sinful hearts that make us always want to turn away from God and ignore God and turn to creation. So as we say no Jesus, and as we keep preaching Christ crucified, as we do that, you know what? We expect people to listen. We do. And we expect people to hear about Jesus and come and be converted and be changed from the inside out and join us at the church. We actually expect that to happen. It's good, isn't it? And we will see it happen. Because the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that he died on the cross for us, changes lives. And if we are living lives for him and preaching that boldly, he will bring people into his church. And you know what? When that happens, when we move over there, because too many people have become Christians for us to fit in here, when we move over there, we will not get proud. We will not pat ourselves on the back and think, oh, we're a good church. We will not do that. And this is why we won't do it. Because we believe God opens hearts. We've been reading Philippians at the moment. That's Paul writing a letter to the church in Philippi that he planted a number of years before. Okay, and to start off when we read that letter, we actually went back to Acts chapter 16 when we see how Paul planted the church, how it got started in the beginning. And we meet a woman named Lydia who's down by the river, who listens to Paul as he comes to tell her about Jesus. And as she listens, we get beautiful insight in Acts chapter 16. We get insight that actually tells us that in order for Lydia to respond to Paul and say, I believe in Jesus now, in order for her to do that, God needed to open her heart. And we believe God is still in the business of doing that today. And we believe that anyone who listens to this message of Jesus and turns to him and joins Jesus' church, does that because God has opened their hearts. We're expecting God to open people's hearts. And so when people do come in and join this church because they've been saved, what are we going to do? We're not going to get proud. We're going to thank Jesus. And we are going to celebrate and thank God for the work that He is doing, because He will do His work. And nothing will stop Jesus doing His work. He will grow His church, and the gates of hell and Hades will not prevail over that. He will do that work. And you know what? I feel so privileged to be able to be in a position where I believe we'll see lots of it. You know, you get to preach the gospel and see people come in. And we get to thank God for it. We want to be a church that celebrates. When people do become Christians, we want to party. Actually, we want to party all the time. Tonight is a party of how far God has already brought us. And tonight I actually want to say thank you to God for how far He's brought many of you. Just in 6 months, some of you in the core group of this church, I have seen you change radically. I saw many of you start out quite fearful, thinking, I actually don't know that I've got much to contribute. I don't think I can do any more. I don't think I can be bold about Jesus. You know, and I've seen many of you just flog your guts out to get this up and running. And I've seen some of you go out and put posters up and hand things out to your friends when you never thought you could ever do anything like that, because you never thought you could be that bold for Jesus, but I've seen it happen. And I want to thank God for how far He has brought you already. And I want to celebrate that. You know, as we see people get converted, we've also already seen one guy come to Jesus, which is great. We actually want to go down to the beach and we want to baptize people and thank Jesus in that. We want to baptize people, we want to dance on the beach, and we want to do lots of crazy things because we want to celebrate the work that God is going to do amongst us. You know, I think Christians, and you may have heard me say this before, I believe Christians have more to celebrate than anyone who's walking on this earth. We do. We have more to party about than anyone. There's incredible security and confidence in being a Christian. We know who made us. We know why we're here. We know what we've got to do while we're here, and we know exactly where we're going to end up. That's awesome, is it not? That ought to put smiles on our faces and ought to give us confidence and strength to live lives for Jesus that are effective and productive and fruitful for Him. And that's what we will intend on doing. I'm going to finish up by telling you, I got asked a question the other day. Someone who said, yeah, Tim, but I've known a lot of people who've kind of done this whole church pastor thing. They weren't a Christian. They knew, but done this whole church pastor thing, and it just killed them. So why would you think about doing that? That's what he said to me. He said, why would you do that? You know, what's in it for you? It's a great question. It's a good question. Every pastor should be asked that question. You know what I said to him? Actually, I didn't say that to him. It's in reflection. I'll tell you why I'm going to do this and why with my wife we're going to go on this adventure together to lead this church, to bring people to Christ. This is why we're going to do it. Because I want to see Jesus get the honour that He is due. I want to see Him get the glory that He is due. And as we preach Christ crucified and see people turn and come and join His church, He gets more honour. He gets more glory as people see the work He is doing in one life after another. And I want to give my life to seeing Jesus get the honour and the glory that He is due for the work that He is doing here on the Central Coast. He made it. He sustains it. He's going to do all His work in it. He rules over the Central Coast now. One day we'll all stand before Him. He is due so much honour. He is due so much worship right now. And the tragedy is so many people on the Central Coast are not giving Him the worship that they ought to give Him today, because He rules and reigns over this place. Every single person in this room and every single person out there is under the rule of Jesus. So many of them don't know it. So many of them don't care about it. And so many of us, because we have sinful hearts, want to run from the rule of Jesus and the lordship of Jesus over their life. But the truth is, He rules and reigns no matter what you think. And He deserves your honour. And He deserves the honour of every single person living in this place. And so I will give myself to pastoring a church that's all about bringing people to Jesus so He gets more honour and more glory. So it's not about Saturday EV. It's not about our name or our reputation. It's not about us at all. It's all about Jesus, His fame, His glory, His name. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we lift up Your name, the name above all names, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Lord, we ask that many knees would bow and many tongues would confess today and in the near future, as people realize that You are Lord over them and they realize that You went to the cross for them to redeem them and rescue them from themselves. We pray, Lord, that You would use us powerfully on the Central Coast to do Your work for Your glory and Your honour. And so we give ourselves to You, Jesus. Amen.